against all better judgment. Broadcasting live from the David Price IMAX Center Studios, high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. It's Redneck Nation Radio.
This is P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Time for the Renegades of Puck to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need. Join Predneck Nation Radio, 615-844-5600.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right. It's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier, and we wake up on a game day in Smashville with the Nashville Predators in second place in the Central Division. 32 games played on the season, 21 wins, 10 losses, one overtime loss. That's good for 43 points, and the Nashville Predators are 1 point behind the Winnipeg Jets, who have played the same number of games and have the same number of regulation wins on the season. Nashville Predators welcoming the New Jersey Devils today to wrap up a three-game homestand after a disappointing two-game road trip to Western Canada. The Preds have come home, and they've taken care of business to this point. The Devils come into town today with one of the worst point totals in the entire NHL. After 30 games played, they are 11-13-6. They have 28 points on the season. They are 3-11-2 on the road. And today is the second of back-to-back games for the New Jersey Devils, who scored a 5-4 overtime win versus Vegas just last night. They scored the final four goals of that game. Kincaid gets the win, 14-15, in relief of Schneider, who had to be pulled after giving up 3 goals on 7 shots on goal. The last time these two teams met, the Devils weren't playing such bad hockey. That was on the 25th of October. The Preds scored a 4-3 overtime win in New Jersey. Forsberg picked up the game-tying goal in the third period. Turris picked up the game-winning goal in overtime. And UC Saros was 33 of 36 to get the win. Big news for the New Jersey Devils. Just like the Preds have been talking about injuries, Taylor Hall, of course, superstar, MVP. Taylor Hall, day-to-day, did not play last night in that game against Vegas. Left the game in San Jose before that with an injury. No word on if he'll go tonight, but he didn't go last night, and you'd think they may hold him out of the lineup until they get back home for their next game. For the Nashville Predators, they close out a three-game homestand tonight. Then they head on the road at Ottawa Monday night, at Chicago Tuesday. Back-to-backs right there. Thursday in Philly, and the next Saturday at Boston. So a four-game road trip upcoming for the Nashville Predators before heading on home on the 27th, just after Christmas, to face off against the Dallas Stars. This Nashville Predators team ranks 26th in the league on the power play, 11th in the league on the penalty kill, 12th in goals for, 3.19 per game, and first in goals against, which they have been for much of the season, at 2.5 per game. The Devils ranks 18th in the league in the power play, 12th on the penalty kill, 15th goals for, 3.10 per game, 28th in the NHL in goals against. They're giving up 3.6 goals per game. So the Nashville Predators should have a great opportunity to go ahead and close out that homestand tonight, earning 6 out of a possible 6 points. And the Predators are 13-5 at home. As the Ultimate Predator always says, defend the stone. The Ultimate Predator will be here to get you all fired up in just a few minutes. Mastrodamus in the second period. And welcome in all you Renegades of Puck. Thank you so much for joining us, listening live at 5 on game days. We're getting you all fired up. You don't need that cup of coffee to get you started on a Saturday morning. You've got Predneck Nation Radio. Radio. Of course, I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. You can always find us on Twitter at Predneck Nation. You can always check us out on Facebook and give us a like right there. And listen to this fine radio show live on game days at 5, encore presentations at 6. And in an on-demand world, because we know you're very busy, always available to you at SoundCloud and iTunes. We get the show posted by 7 a.m. on game days each and every day. So again, thank you so much for joining us here on Nashville Sports Radio. Just taking a quick look around the rest of the Central Division. Only two other games on the schedule tonight. Calgary's in Minnesota. Dallas is in Colorado. So you'll want to check those games out. This is the final of two regular season matchups between these two teams. And we mentioned Taylor Hall. We're not sure if he's going to go tonight, day to day. But of course, he leads this team in scoring after 29 games played, 8 goals, 23 assists, 31 points. But you got to watch out for Palmieri. 17 goals on the season, 28 total points. And we saw some problems from Hischier, 26 games, 7 goals. I think two of those goals were against the Nashville Predators in the previous meeting between these two teams. Travis Zajac has 10 goals on the season. Blake Coleman has 9 goals on the season. When you look in net, because of the situation last night, not sure exactly who we're going to get. Mastrodamus will help us out with that. Kincaid on the season, 25 games played, 11 wins, 8 losses, 5 overtime losses, a 2.97 goals against, a 904 save percentage. Corey Schneider just absolutely awful on the season, 0-5-1, a 4.66 goals against average, and an 852 save percentage. For the Nashville Predators, of course, led in scoring by Ryan Johansson. 32 games played on the season, 5 goals, 21 assists. That's good for 26 points. And remember when Ryan Johansson was right there near the top of the NHL in assists? Well, his 21 assists now ranks 32nd in the NHL and 26 points since he's falling off the pace just a little bit here. He was over a point per game through the first 20 games. Now through 32 games, he's at 26 points. That's 66th in the NHL. That's not good enough from your top line center. I understand missing two wingers at this time, but that's frankly not good enough at this point in the season. Roman Josi now second on the team in scoring, 18 assists, 23 points. Ekholm has 17 assists and 20 points and goals scorers. Sissons has 7, Smith 9, Hartman 9, Yarncroke 7, and Watson at 6. So some of the depth getting it done and stepping up while we've had so many injuries here in Nashville. Pekka-Rinne, 22 games played on the season, 14-5-1. His 1.96 goals against average is number 1 overall in the NHL. 929 save percentage is 3rd in the NHL. UC Saros numbers not so good, but we saw this just a year ago. He went into this weird 3-4 week long slump where his numbers suffered, but then he was able to get some games in Milwaukee, get his game back together, get back on track, and was just fine up until about 3 weeks ago. UC Saros on the season, 13 games played, 7-5, a 3.36 goals against average, and an 885 save percentage. That's not good enough. We all know that's not good enough. He'll get that corrected with the contract situation of both goaltenders. They have time to get this worked out. There's no stress as far as that is concerned, and I believe that they will get this worked out here within the next couple of weeks. UC Saros just needs to get some game time in, and with a back-to-back coming up, someone's going to get one of those. And it's got to be UC Saros unless he's going down to Milwaukee on some sort of conditioning assignment. Now, second of three games on the homestand, the Vancouver Canucks, after the Preds dropped their first meeting of the season against the Canucks in Vancouver just a week later, they've got a chance to make up for it at Bridgestone Arena. We saw Hartman, Johansson, and Fiala go as the first line. Yarncroke, Turris, and Smith, and great to see Kyle Turris back out there on the ice. Sissons, Bonino, and Watson, Salamaki, Goudreau, and Grimaldi, Josi, Ellis, Hamhuis, Ekholm, Irwin, Weber, and Pekka-Rinne gets the start. We open this game up 41 seconds in. Craig Smith hard on the forecheck and a big hit. Nice to see the Preds come out there in the first minute of the game and look like they've got a lot more jam than they did that entire game in Vancouver just a week ago. 1:35 into the first. Rinne clearing attempt is blocked. Pekka-Rinne has to scramble. Johansson blocks the shot on the empty net attempt. And this one was a bailout for the Nashville Predators. Pekka-Rinne definitely got caught playing the puck on this one. 3:59, Watson neutral zone hit is a huge neutral zone hit right over by the bench. And the Preds clearly coming out and bringing the physical play early in the first period. 4:40 into the first. Pekka-Rinne save on Pettersson on a 3-on-2 after Josi's turnover. Yarncroke's back check disrupts and does enough to help out with the Nashville Predators. 8:52, Hartman picks up his 9th goal of the season off the rush rush. He shoots it through the defenseman's legs over the glove of Nilsson, giving the Nashville Predators a 1-0 lead at Bridgestone Arena. 7:43 into the first, Fiala's hard on the forecheck with Hartman, and they're creating some jam there. 8:40, Bonino picks up his fifth of the season. Sissons with a pass over to Bonino. Wrist shot from the circle. It goes top shelf, and Nick Bonino has just been impressive out there lately, doing all the little things and getting rewarded with his fifth goal of the season and giving the Preds a 2-0 lead on home ice. 9:07 into the first, Grimaldi goes to the box 2 minutes for puck over the glass. While the Preds are on the penalty kill, Pecorine picks up a 2-minute penalty for tripping. We've got a 5-on-3 scenario for 37 seconds. Ryan Ellis with a huge shot block. Pecorine with a huge save on Pedersen. We go to the 5-on-4 for 1:23. Sissons doing excellent work out there. 13:31, Roussel is going to the box 2 minutes for slashing. Preds did a good job on the PK. Let's see how they do on the... Oh, forget it. They gave up a shorthanded goal. You got to be kidding me. Again? Ekholm turnover leads to a 2-on-1, and Jay Beagle with an easy finish against Pecorine and the Nashville Predators, cutting the home team's lead in half, 2-1 in favor of Nashville, but they've given up a shorthanded goal yet again. 15:40, Nilsson, point-blank save on Kyle Turris. He absolutely robbed him right here. We go to the intermission with the Preds, out shooting Vancouver 8-7 and holding a 2-1 lead at home. 1:59 into the second, Preds 3-on-1. Hartman takes that shot, and Nilsson makes a big glove save. 3:16, Nilsson makes another save on Bonino's wrist shot at 4:23. Kyle Turris, he's headed off to the box 2 minutes for holding, putting the Canucks on the power play, and the Preds very strong on the penalty kill, giving up 0 shots on goal against the Canucks. 10:17, Pecorine comes up with a big save, and that leads to 11:25 when Yarncroke scores his 7th of the season. Turris shot from the circle, tipped up and over Nilsson by Kelly Yarncroke. High skill play by one high IQ hockey player out there on the ice, and the Preds have their 2-goal lead back, and it's 3-1 as we head towards the end of the second period. 19:11, Nilsson has to come up with one more big save on Kelly Yarncroke. Redirect. He was everywhere in this second period. We go to the intermission. The Preds now out shooting Vancouver 17-12. Starting out the third period, everything is working just as it's supposed to. It is business as usual for a home game for the Nashville Predators. They've been working hard. They've got a 2-goal lead. And at 1:24, it appears that they've got a 3-goal lead as Fiala puts the puck into the net. And we're going to go through this one, even though I know already it doesn't count because the play was offsides. I'm just going to go ahead and spoiler alert that one. Hartman, behind the back pass to Josi, was just simply magnificent. Over to Fiala really quick for the easy finish into the empty net from the side of the crease. It was challenged. It was offsides. It was the correct call. Kevin Fiala was offsides, so Kevin Fiala cost Kevin Fiala a goal, and the Nashville Predators a goal also. I hope this doesn't come back to bite the team. 2:45 into the third period, Edler going to the box, 2 minutes for interference. Preds generate plenty of zone time, but no real great scoring chances. 5:53, Hartman shot, Ham Hughes rebound attempt, all of it stopped by Nilsson, but good jam by the Preds here in the third period. We go to 9:51, Nilsson has to make a save on Josi, crashing the back door. Preds working really hard to try to get into the dirty areas and grinding away. 9:51, again, that was Nilsson with the save on Josi. 12:25, Pecorine makes a glove save on Granlund after a turnover. Josi goes to the box 2 minutes for cross-checking, and the Vancouver Canucks are picking up a goal right here by Bosser, his 10th of the season, a one-timer from the high circle over the glove of Rene. It was a spectacular one-timer, and it was a snipe. 3-2, Nashville Predators, and we go into the 16:50 mark of the third period. Ham Hughes picks up a 2-minute penalty for delay of game, puck over the glass. He could not have been more demonstrative in his protest over this call. You rarely see Dan Ham Hughes show much of any emotion out there. I heard a lot of people talk about the puck over the glass. I did not see it hit the glass, nor did the camera crew, when I went back and reviewed the video multiple times, catch a definitive look at the puck going off of the glass or off of a Vancouver Canucks player. So it's a mystery right here, and unfortunately Dan Ham Hughes is going to the penalty box, and the Preds feel like they've been jobbed now. 2 penalty calls in a row. People are getting really frustrated, but let's focus, people. It's a 3-2 lead at home with just a couple of minutes to go in the game. While Dan Hamhuis is in the box for delay of game, Edler picks up a penalty 2 minutes for slashing. Ellis had a shorthanded steal and drive to the net, drawing that penalty, but on the delayed call, the Nashville Predators were able to play keep away with the puck, just killing time off the clock, and this went on for almost a solid minute before a 2-on-1 was stopped by Nilsson, stopping the clock. 1:40 to go in the game. We go to the empty net scenario. Pekka-Rinne has to come up with a huge save on Pettersson in close at 19:17, though. Horvat, Preds can't clear the puck. Pekka-Rinne stops the first, but not the rebound, and this is credited as a shorthanded goal. It's also credited as the tying goal because the Canucks have come all the way back in this third period, and we've got a 3-3 hockey game with under a minute to go. The Preds had an opportunity to get this one out of the zone and just could not do it. We go to overtime. Shots on goal to start the OT. The Preds 32, Vancouver 21. 1:35 into the period. Josi drives to the net hard. He is stopped by Nilsson. The Predators looking great out there in the 3-on-3. My God, how far we've come from 2-3 years ago when the 3-on-3 was first getting underway and the Nashville Predators looked lost out there each and every time. They were very much under control in this situation, which leads to Nick Bonino having the puck on the half wall and making a precision pass to Colton Sissons, cutting hard down the slot and redirecting that pass over the glove of Nilsson and into the net at full speed, giving the Nashville Predators a 4-3 overtime win. Excellence of execution on this overtime game winner, and Colton Sissons with the jam comes up big for the Nashville Predators. For 55 minutes, this game was orderly. It was businesslike. The Predators were taking care of things. Couple of bad penalties, couple of frustrating moments. You got a little bit out of your game. You gave up a 2-goal lead, but you were able to regroup and put together an impressive 3-on-3 overtime period. At no point in time did I think that the Vancouver Canucks were going to win that game in overtime with the amount of puck possession and control that the Nashville Predators had. They looked outstanding, being able to rotate the third player who was tired off to the bench and maintain puck possession. It was excellent to see. The Nashville Predators truly seem to have a handle on the 3-on-3 overtime right now. We've not seen it very much this season. Preds Devils tonight. Preds have an opportunity to close out a 3-game homestand against some teams that are near the bottom of their divisions in the standings by taking all 6 of those points before heading out on the road for a huge 4-game road trip. As the Ultimate Predator always says, it's time to defend the stone.
Smashville, let me take you back a few weeks. A few weeks back where we played New Jersey on their turf, where we gave our all, where we fought hard, and we squeaked by with a win in overtime. Our first overtime game of the season, our first overtime win of the season. But that was on their turf. That was playing by their rules. That was in front of their crowd. Tonight we get home cooking. Tonight we defend the stone. Tonight, we play on our terms, with our team and our fans. And it's not going to be like Vancouver, where we get one by the seat of our pants. It's not going to be like the last time we played the Devils and we've got to go into overtime and fight and claw and scrap. No, sir. We're going to get that done early. We're going to get that done quickly. And with a returning Kyle Turris, and for God's sake, please, a returning PK Subban, and who knows, maybe a Christmas miracle with Forsberg and Arvidsson. Yeah, I know, it's not until January. We're going to take the fight, and we're going to take everything that New Jersey holds sacred and bring it home. We are going to raise another banner in the rafters if we have to make sure that everybody knows that this is Smashville and this is our home. We are undefeated with the Eastern Conference. We are the best team in the Eastern Conference. Doesn't matter that we don't play in it. We're the best team. And New Jersey, you're just another speed bump on the way to our destiny. To our time, to our cup. GM David Poile said it best during his acceptance speech. Washington, keep that cup warm, because come June, it's coming home. Devils, I feel an exorcism coming on. And folks, Predaholics, I've got my holy water ready. So you know what I'm about to say. Smashville, holla if you hear me. And that, my friends, is the bottom line. Because the ultimate predator said so.
This is Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio from the David Price IMAX Center Studios. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sarnia. Colton Sissons bringing us back from break right there. 32 games played on the season, 7 goals now after that overtime game winner. And that's how you go hard to the net with jam right there and put yourself ahead on the board and get the boys back to the locker room and send everybody home happy at Bridgestone Arena. The Nashville Predators defeating the Vancouver Canucks in overtime. It was way more exciting and interesting down the last 5 minutes in overtime than it needed to be. But the Nashville Predators do come out with the 2 points, and I don't believe at the end of the season that 1 point the Vancouver Canucks were able to collect are going to have any effect on the Nashville Predators and their playoff race. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey, and we'll preview the New Jersey Devils and look back at some individual performances from that Canucks game. He is, of course, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He is a man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena. He is, of course, Mostradamus. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, a whole lot of head shaking going on after Thursday night, but you get a victory and that's all that counts.
Yeah, a lot of things get forgotten about when you give up a 2-goal lead late in the third period at home, but then come out of it with the victory. So let's talk about some individual performances. First, though, comment on the Vancouver Canucks. We mentioned it. After they beat the Preds in Vancouver, we knew that they were going to get a little bit of a bounce in a positive way. They won 3 games in a row before coming to Bridgestone Arena, and they were definitely a more confident team, and you could see that in the third period. They weren't falling apart. They weren't running away from the game, getting so desperate that they were making stupid plays. They stayed within their game. They stayed within their system. And when they got opportunities in the last 5 minutes, certainly took advantage of them. But that's a team that looks a lot different and a lot more confident suddenly.
Even though it's the same guys out there from what they had this awful month of the season there, 1 win in 4 weeks, they beat the Preds and all of a sudden they beat Columbus with a great comeback victory. I mean, they were down by a goal in that game as well before playing in Nashville. Get 2 goals in the span of about a minute late in the third period, end up flipping that one and getting the victory on a 3-game winning streak heading into Nashville. Even though the Preds, for 55 minutes, played absolutely shut-down hockey, they did not give Vancouver a sniff. Even in the third period, up until the last 5 minutes, Vancouver only had, I think, up at that point, 16 or 17 shots on goal until the last 5 minutes when they finally rallied and tied the game up. But credit to them, though. They didn't give up. Their young team, and they just kept going at it. Even though Nashville was playing that tight-knit defensively, they didn't get frustrated. They didn't take a bunch of dumb penalties, like you said, and just kept fighting. They got a break that went their way, and they ran with it. That's all you can do.
Kyle Turris made his return to the lineup. We learned just after we talked the other morning at the morning skate that Tolvanen was going back down to Milwaukee, so we knew someone was coming off of IR, and based on the time frame we were working with, it was going to be Kyle Turris. He made his return. He was rusty, but he was still solid out there, and I know it's only one player, but it just made the lineup feel so much more comfortable in the game. Turris did pick up an assist. He did skate 17:07 in time on ice, but easing him back in overall. He only took one face-off in the game. Kelly Yarncroke took most of his face-offs throughout the night. So Kyle Turris back in the lineup. Mostradamus, rusty, but made me feel a lot better about the lineup.
Second line looks a lot better when you have Turris, Smith, and Yarncroke out there compared to what we've been used to seeing over the last several weeks. And obviously, it's got to be something, I would think, with his wrist or whatever that happened with him. We remember the cross-check that he took right before he left the lineup and was holding his left side there. So it certainly looked like it was a wrist injury. That's why you're not taking face-offs out there. But Yarncroke did a great job filling in as the center role. So Turris first game back plays wing for the majority of the time. But great job by him, though. 17 minutes. He was eased in as far as the face-offs go, but wasn't eased into the lineup as far as minutes go. 17 minutes, did play a minute and a half on the power play. Got that assist as well on the Yarncroke goal. It wasn't really a slap pass, so to speak. That was a shot on net, and Yarncroke made a great deflection on it. But like what I see out of Kyle Turris, the chain is back.
Yarncroke, impressive. He was buzzing all around. You just mentioned the redirect for a goal. Also, five shots on net in this game. An 18-41 of time on ice and 10-5 in the faceoff dot, filling in for Kyle Turris on that second line. Impressive effort from Yarncroke for sure. Maybe one of his better overall games of the season, aside, of course, from when he had a hat trick.
He was second on the team as far as forwards go as on ice time, and it showed. Every time he was out there, it just seemed like he was getting a chance. And I would venture to say, even with his hat trick that he scored, this is the best I've seen him play this year, if not ever. I mean, he was absolutely everywhere. Every single shift he was out there, playing defensively as well, playing a full 200-foot game. But the amount of high-danger chances he had, Nilsson had to be on his game the other night. And let's not be mistaken here. He earned that point for Vancouver. The Preds should have very easily gotten four or five goals in that game. Nilsson stood on his head, making a couple of miraculous saves, one on Josi in particular. Obviously, another one on Yarncroke as well to keep him off the scoreboard, at least for a second time. But Kalle Yarncroke, he was everywhere. I loved what I saw out of him. Played with Jim, won two-thirds of his faceoffs as well, playing that center role. Just did absolutely everything you could possibly want out of a guy. Swedish Army Knife, back at it again. 18 minutes on the ice. Like to see that a little bit more consistent out of him.
And Hartman, a guy who bets on himself, is probably going to win at the end of this season. Picks up his ninth goal of the season. Greg, every time he's on the ice, he's noticeable. Four shots on net, 15-44 in time on ice. He draws penalties. He gets under other players' skin, but he does everything out there. He skates hard. He goes to the hard areas, and he's getting rewarded, and he's going to get rewarded in the offseason with the way he's playing as of late.
Former first-round draft pick, let's not forget, the Preds gave up a first-round pick to acquire his services, and Poile was not going to give up a first without getting him signed over the long haul or have him in the picture for the long haul. Gets a prove-me-wrong type contract, one-year deal, a Poile special. Go out there and prove that you're worth this long-term deal. And sure enough, right now, he's doing it. He's getting a bigger opportunity, obviously, with all the injuries that are going on. But you know what? He's running with it. Guys like Kevin Fiala haven't really necessarily capitalize on their opportunities. Ryan Hartman definitely doing just that. So looking for to get paid, obviously, come this offseason. I don't think it's going to be one of the situations where, well, you only did it 1 year. We're going to give you another 1 or 2 year deal. That's not going to happen. This isn't the NFL where you can just sign guys to franchise contracts and that's it. Look for Hartman to get a long-term deal. And so far, 9 goals. Yeah, he's on pace for a good 22 to 25 goal season. We'll see if that actually happens, but right now, he's getting the opportunity to play with a guy like Johansson on the first line, and he's taking full advantage of it.
No one has been more critical of Nick Bonino than me. That's why I will gladly discuss this point right here. I've even gone as far as to say he's so good at dressing up in costumes and fooling his own teammates that I wish he would dress up as a 20-goal scorer. Greg, a goal, an assist, three shots on net, a block shot, 17-24 time on ice against the Canucks. One hell of a pass off the half wall to set up Sissons on the overtime game winner. And for Nick Bonino, it may have been a very slow start through last season and the beginning of this season with the Predators, but he is doing a lot of things right in the last couple of weeks of hockey.
Yeah, finally. That's what we really wanted at Nick Bonino. I mean, it seems like he loves that shot, high glove side, high far post when he's on that left side, kind of at a bad angle, but he has sniped that corner a couple times this season. So I love that out of him. And that saucer pass, too, to Sissons, absolutely perfect. I mean, we saw Josi with a saucer pass over to Sissons a couple games ago, kind of a flutter job, and Sissons was able to put that in anyway. But Nick Bonino, perfect saucer pass, right under the tape of Sissons in overtime to get that goal, generate that game-winning goal for him. So that's what we want out of Nick Bonino, only 5 goals, but the guy also played almost 4 minutes shorthanded as well, led all forwards in that category. So he's doing his job out there. Would we like to pay him less than the $4 million or so that he's getting paid? Absolutely. But right now, he's at least finally earning a spot that says, well, he's not a fourth-line guy. He is a third, kind of a tweener between a second and third-line center right now.
With all the injuries, Nick Bonino's been one of the most noticeable players out of the forward group to step up other than Hartman. Other players have been given opportunity and haven't taken advantage of their additional minutes out there on the ice. Man, I could talk about the depth players on this team in this game all day long. I mean, Austin Watson, 7 hits, comes out sending messages from his first shift in the first period all the way on through this game. Impressive physical play by the Predators all the way across the board. He even Craig Smith with three hits out there. And Colton Sissons, I mean, we have to spend a moment talking about him before we wrap this thing up. Overtime, game-winning goal, also an assist. He picks up one shot on net that ends up being on that game-winning goal. Three hits in the game. He plays 20 minutes, 27 seconds on ice. The only place Colton Sissons wasn't spectacular the other night was in the faceoff dot where he went 3-7, but that is not typical of his performance out there on the ice. Colton Sissons getting the job done for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, and playing in all types of situations too. You wouldn't think of him being out there during overtime. You're used to seeing guys, of course, with the injuries, Forsberg and Arvidsson and those type guys out there. And about 5 seconds before he scored, I'm looking up. I was like, what's Colton Sissons doing out there during 3-on-3 overtime hockey? But he's proven it, though. He's played in all kinds of situations. He played almost 7 minutes, either power play or shorthanded, out of the 20 minutes. He led all forwards in ice time. Johansson taking a step back. He didn't play terribly, but he played less than 17 minutes. So it shows you the confidence that Laviolette has shown in Colton Sissons, and we've seen it with Colton Sissons throughout his career. When there's an opportunity given to him or when he thinks that he's getting his toe stepped on about guys taking his ice time, he steps up to the plate. If we can get that consistently through an 82-game season, we'll all be better off, as well as his contract as well will be better off. So I love what I'm seeing out of him stepping up to the plate with some injuries out there. Yeah, faceoffs didn't work out, but almost 4 minutes of power play time for Colton Sissons. You would have never seen that at the beginning of the season. Over 3 minutes shorthanded as well. So he's doing absolutely everything you could possibly want out of a depth center.
Now, listen, Johansson didn't play bad, but he also didn't play good. And I'm just going to say that because we've just spent a ton of time breaking down individual performances from this game against the Canucks the other night. We've talked about Bonino, Hartman, Yarncroke, Sissons, Watson, Turris, Craig Smith. I mean, Ryan Johansson's not even making my top 7-8 talking points for forwards. So for Ryan Johansson, Greg, I just want to throw a couple of quick numbers at you. After 32 games played, now we know about the 20-game mark, he was over a point per game. He was right near the top of the NHL in assists. He was pacing with some of the best centers in the league. Now, his 21 assists after 32 games has him dropped all the way down to 32nd in the NHL in scoring four assists, and his 26 points has him tied for 66th in the NHL. And when you look at the players that are around him, it simply isn't even comparable between the amount of money being paid out for a top line, first line center. We've seen Ryan Johansson do it. We know that he can do it. He was on pace through the first 20 to have a very impressive season. Without his wingers, I understand a little bit of drop off, but I don't understand the complete disappearance from the offensive side of things. He should be at this point in time stepping up and getting extra minutes. He ought to be taking on those McKinnon type minutes of 23, 24 minutes a game with the number two center being out of the lineup and scoring and getting points and going to the net hard. Ryan Johansson's really fallen off the pace recently, Greg.
You'd like to see more out of him because let's be honest. Yeah, you don't have your wingers with you, but you're one of the top guys on this team. You're the highest paid forward on this team. You need to start playing like it. So this has been the kind of the book on him in Columbus too before the trade. That's why he fell out of favor with John Tortorella in Columbus, is that he tends to coast a little bit. And we all know John Tortorella and Laviolette as well. They're one of those guys that they see you coasting out there, you're going to sit. And we saw that against Calgary. He got demoted to the fourth line, to kind of a wake-up call. Like, look, I don't care how many injuries we have out there. You're our number one center. You play like it or you're going to sit. Plain and simple. So as much as the team is struggling to find consistent offense, he's going to sit down and go to the fourth line. So again, Laviolette sending messages, despite the fact the team needs him to play more ice time. Well, you play one good shift, you get a second shift. You don't play well in that first shift, you're not going to see the ice again. So I love the mentality by Laviolette. He's kind of softened up a little bit on that over the years, but he doesn't forget his roots. He doesn't forget that guys are going to sit if they don't perform up to his standards.
Just one more, Greg. Pekka-Rinne in that game the other night against Vancouver, 19 of 22. That means three goals against. The first was a shorthanded goal. I mean, are you kidding me? It was a 2-on-1. Pekka-Rinne never had a chance on this one. Beagle. I mean, really. Second one was a power play goal. That was a hell of a one-time snipe right there. Third, bad clear by the defense leads to some jam by the Vancouver Canucks, and they get that tying goal. Overall, though, I felt that Pekka-Rinne was pretty solid in this game, even though if you just looked at the box score, you might not feel the same way. Discuss Pekka-Rinne's performance the other night, then we'll get into this Devils game.
Yeah, similar to what Saros did in his last performance. It's one of those games where the save percentage doesn't really quantify what the actual performance on the ice was. Didn't have a bad game. Didn't have to be fantastic either. He did make a few saves late in the game to even get it to overtime. But the shorthanded goal, I mean, he just anticipated Beagle to take a one-timer there on that pass. So Ekholm had a very Hamhuisian-level turnover on the power play, gave it up. All of a sudden, it's a two-on-one. He expected a one-timer, so he couldn't get his edge back to even move to his right side. Once Beagle hesitated and went backhand, he was just left hanging out to dry on that one. The power play goal by Besser, I mean, look, Besser goes full Ovechkin on him with the one-timer from that left circle. That's Ovechkin's offense. Besser, just absolute cannon of a shot, beats him glove side. You're not going to see that very often from anybody. If Rene sees the puck, even with a cannon like that, he's usually going to stop it. But Besser, absolutely beautiful goal on that one. And then, of course, the empty net scenario, which really was still 5-on-5 but shorthanded for Vancouver. Just guys losing coverage in front of the net. They had a bad bounce from about 8 feet in front of the net. They couldn't clear it. Vancouver capitalizes on it, gets a rebound, and tucks it in the back of the net with Bo Horvat. So not a bad game by Rene, but again, the team overall played very well defensively in front of him, where he didn't have to be fantastic.
14-5-1 on the season. That 1.96 goals against average is first in the NHL. 929 save percentage is third in the NHL. And the reigning Vezina Trophy winner is competing amongst the tops in the NHL yet again this season. For the New Jersey Devils, Greg, it's the second meeting of the season between these two teams. Well, it's a very different looking Devils team right now. Taylor Hall did not play last night in Vegas. Second night of back-to-backs. They had an overtime comeback win last night in New Jersey before hopping on plane and coming out here to Nashville. They had both goaltenders go last night. Hall may not go tonight, did not play last night. This Devils team, one of the worst point totals in the entire NHL. Talk to me about what we're going to see at Bridgestone Arena tonight.
Yeah, the Devils, I mean, they come back. They spent a whole lot of energy coming back against Las Vegas. They were down 3-0 10 minutes into the game. And so Schneider takes a seat. And honestly, Keith Kincaid went in there but didn't face a whole lot of shots, only faced 15 shots. The last 50 minutes of that game. So it's very likely that Keith Kincaid will see the net again tonight, despite playing the majority of last night's game, because he wasn't really overly taxed at all. The plan was to have him start against Nashville anyway. He's probably going to get that start. Schneider has been absolutely terrible this season, recovering from injury. He's just not found his game as of yet. So look for Keith Kincaid in there, who's been very hot and cold this year. He's got a few shutouts this year, but he's also had a couple of 5 and 6 goals allowed type games. So a tired Devils team. They're traveling from New Jersey and were chasing the game last night. So they should be on tired legs. The Preds should be able to take advantage of that and get a victory here on home ice. They've won 4 in a row at home. The Devils, 4 times so far this season, have been on back-to-back scenarios, have lost all 4 of those second of back-to-backs. So Preds should be able to take advantage of a tired team. And also, no Taylor Hall is absolutely huge, the reigning MVP of the league last season. Doesn't look like he's going to go in there. It doesn't make any sense for him to go in, honestly, with the team traveling back home to play Toronto on Tuesday night. So look for the Preds. Take full advantage of this one. They should be able to take care of business about 4-1.
And just to pile on one more bad number for the Devils on the road, 3-11-2 on the season. This Nashville Predators team has an opportunity to close out a 3-game homestand tonight by picking up 6 out of 6 points against teams that frankly are near the bottoms in points totals in the NHL. And that's exactly how you take care of your business when you have home cooking for a week. After that, it is 4 games on the road: Ottawa, Chicago, Philly, and Boston. 2 of those are back-to-backs on Monday and Tuesday. Mastrodamus, I look forward to talking to you about all things Nashville Predators hockey. Time to go on the road and pick up some points. The Preds have dropped a couple of road games as of late, now 8-5-1 after that impressive start. So we'll have a lot of numbers to break down, a lot of analysis, and a lot of opinions on Monday morning as the Preds will face off against the Ottawa Senators for the second time in less than a week. On Twitter, at GreekGoalie35, you can always hear him on this radio show in the second period of Predneck Nation Radio, and you can always interact with him. He's always up for the conversation. Just make sure you bring yourself an opinion, some analysis, some numbers. Bring them something to work with, people. Mastrodamus, thank you so much, my friend.
Charlie, anytime. We'll talk again on Monday.
A man so far ahead in the future, he's told you everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena. He is, of course, Mostradamus, the ultimate predator. Got you all fired up to defend the stone. Well, me, I'm your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny, and I'm in the David Price IMAC Center studio here at Nashville Sports Radio. We'll wrap it up with a couple of minutes and review of some more stats of the Nashville Predators as we get you all set for the game tonight against the New Jersey Devils right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Craig Smith of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. Keep listening to Predneck Nation Radio, Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
We dip back into, when does that return from? Two, three seasons ago? Back into the old production folder right there. Craig Smith bringing us back from break right here on Predneck Nation Radio. Crazy Charlie Sonia, your host and captain from the David Price IMAX Center Studios here on Nashville Sports Radio. Craig Smith on the season. After the game against Vancouver Canucks, he's played in 32 games, which is all of them for the Nashville Predators. He has 9 goals in the season, 7 assists, 16 points. He's a plus 7, averaging 15.37 of time on ice per night. I think he deserves a little bit more than that. 3 power play goals on the season. He's taken 97 shots on goal. That's the second most on the team and is converting at a shooting percentage of 9.3%. Miss Philip Forsberg so much. His shooting percentage, by the way, 16.3%. When he gets back into the lineup here at the very beginning of January, I hope he just absolutely picks up where he left off. After all, if you forget, 26 games played when he went out with the injury, 14 goals on the season, 8 assists, 22 points overall. 3 of those were on the power play, and that shooting percentage, 16.3%, just simply incredible. And I've seen a lot of people talk about how the Preds aren't going to have a 30-goal scorer this season because of the injuries. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. If Philip Forsberg comes back from this injury and does not miss significant time because of any other injuries throughout the rest of the season, he's going to get to 30 goals. He got to 14 goals in 26 games. If he comes back and plays the second half of the season and is healthy, then there's no doubt in my mind that he is going to get 16 more goals and reach the 30-goal plateau here on this season. All right, when you look at Roman Josi, 23 points. He's on pace for over 50 this season as a defenseman. Matthias Ekholm on pace for around 45 points this season, which would be one impressive effort from him. 17 of his 20 points on the season are assists. Colton Sissons at 7 goals. Craig Smith at 9 goals, as we were just discussing. Would really like to see a couple other players pick up the pace here just a little bit. And of course, I'm talking about Kevin Fiala, who unfortunately, while he showed a couple of bright spots here at the beginning of December, still only 5 goals on the season. That's just not nearly enough. He is capable of breaking out of this and getting on a hot streak. We saw that last year. It ended up leading to a career year. As a matter of fact, last year we saw several Predators eclipse career marks in statistics in many categories. And I'm not sure if we're going to have a whole lot of that this year. Last year was a pretty special year with the run to the President's Trophy, being the best team in the NHL throughout the entirety of the regular season. So for the Preds, a couple players that could pick it up, and Ryan Johansson. Mishopoulos did a good job right there breaking it down and talking about it. He needs to step up. I'm cheering for the guy. I want him to perform at a high level. I want him to be an elite passer in the NHL and a leader for the Nashville Predators. I've covered this team for so many years. All they ever coveted, other than a Stanley Cup, was to have a top-line franchise center, and they gave up a lot to get Ryan Johansson, and they paid a lot to keep Ryan Johansson. He's capable of it. That's why I'm critical. I know he can play better than he's played his last 12 games. We saw him in the first 20 games of the season using his big frame and that body and that reach to make passes that were simply incredible down around the goal line, down around the net, on the rush. I want to see him step up. Tonight against the New Jersey Devils, I'd love to see a game where Ryan Johansson is the number one star of the game. I want to see him get out there and get that confidence back. I know he's been without his top two wingers, and that's definitely where the point drop-off started, and that's affected him in many ways. It's been a tough month for Ryan Johansson. But we're about to get those wingers back in the lineup, and he's got to start getting that jam. He's got to start getting that grind on, and he's got to start working hard. I don't want to see him losing minutes and losing shifts and being put on the fourth line. It's not something that should happen to a player of his caliber. It shouldn't. The Nashville Predators are in second place today. They have an opportunity with Winnipeg off today to move ahead of the Jets. The Jets have 44 points. The Preds have 43 points. And this is going to be a race down to the final games, if not the final minutes of the entire season. The Colorado Avalanche have played the same amount of games as the Preds and the Jets. They are 3 points behind the Preds. They are 4 points behind Winnipeg. Minnesota's got 36 points. Dallas has 35. And then St. Louis and Chicago bring up the bottom of the division at 28 and 26. The Preds will host the Devils tonight, closing out a three-game homestand. The Devils near the bottom in their division, 28 points on the season. The Nashville Predators, 43 points. The Preds have defeated the Devils already in one game this season. It was a 4-3 overtime win. Forsberg, the tying goal. Turris, the game winner in overtime. UC Saros, the win in net, 33 of 36. Preds close this thing out. Then they go on the road. Four games, Ottawa, Chicago, Philadelphia and Boston before coming home after Christmas and facing off against the Central Division rival, Dallas Stars. Mastrodamus was here in the second period. The Ultimate Predator got you all fired up to defend the Stone. Well, me, I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. Thank you so much. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter at Predneck Nation. You can always give us a like on Facebook. Live at 5 on game days. Encore presentations at 6. That's right, a hockey show in Nashville on Morning Drive and Afternoon Drive. It's damn impressive to me in the broadcasting world to be able to do that in a top 50 market in the United States, especially here in Nashville. It's awesome, and we couldn't do it without each and every one of you Renegades of Puck. So if you've got the fire, the fury, the passion, and you love pucks, you just might be a Renegade. Join us. Predneck Nation Radio right here, Nashville Sports Radio from David Price IMAX Center Studios. We'll be back live Monday morning at 5. Forget that cup of coffee to get your week started. You'll have me right here live on Nashville Sports Radio.